Live in Southern California, I am Jim Rome. A very good day to you. What's cracking? Welcome to the jungle. We are live in the Quicken Loan Studios. Apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. Nice to have you on board. Good news for you all. Open phones in hour number one. Three interviews, but they don't start until the middle of hour number two, and then we back it up. First hour is wide open, so get up in here on a Tuesday. 1-800-636-8686. Again, 1-800-636-8686. Call me up. Maybe you listen. Maybe you've been laying out. Maybe you haven't had a real good reason. Today is a good day to do it. Tuesdays are good days to call. We've got a lot of opportunities, and the first hour is open. If you don't want to call, go ahead and follow me on Twitter. In fact, do both. Call me and follow me on Twitter at Jim Rome. Also email me. In fact, do all three. Call, tweet, email at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. And then go mess with my Facebook page. And then go to Instagram. There's always a show that's taking place simultaneously right alongside the show. All right, in terms of the radio program, coming up in hour number two, a Super Bowl winning head coach, Mike Holmgren. In the jungle. That's at 20 past the second hour. I'm going to chase that with a conversation with a senior running back with Pitt Panthers, Quadri Olison. And then in hour number three, Saints linebacker Alex Anzalone joins us. So those are the three that we're looking at. If you need some help and you don't know where to go, why don't we start with last night's matchup? Because it's Tuesday, I will always recap Monday's matchup. The 1-7 New York Giants against the 2-7 San Francisco 49ers on Monday Night Football. Because that had misery written all over it. Three combined wins, zero combined hope. Ads promoting that game should have come with a warning. And I'm not going to lie. I wanted nothing to do with that game. And if they didn't pay me to watch it, I would not have watched it. Believe me, I would have found something better to do. I would have spent some time with the family. I would have worked a hobby. I would have stared at the wall. Man, anything. Anything except the Giants v. Niners on a Monday night. I mean, the only people who should have been into that game are fantasy players, folks with money on it, and the Oakland Raiders. Because it really felt like the only stakes in that game was the inside track to the number one pick overall. And if you had told me the over-under on that game was 8, I would have taken the under for sure. I would have even given you a final score. Niners 5, Giants 2. So yes, going into that game, I was fully prepared to roll up in here this morning or afternoon and say that the only winners last night were the people who didn't watch and the Oakland Raiders because it moved them one step closer to the first pick overall. I was prepared to do that, but I would have been wrong. Because I did watch that game. In fact, I watched the entire game start to finish. And right now, I don't hate myself. I don't hate the world. I don't feel like I wasted my time or I lost 3 hours that I'll never get back. Because that game was so much better than expected. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not going to say New York's 27-23 win was Chiefs-Patriots from earlier this season or Chiefs-Rams from next Monday night. But last night's game was good. The teams aren't good, but the game was good. And even when the game wasn't good, the game was still competitive. Neither team laid down. I mean, they're both pretty horrible, but neither team quit. And let that serve as a memo and a reminder to the Jets and the Raiders and other teams that do seem like they're mailing it in. This is how you handle your business. I mean, there were touchdowns. There were some nice cuts from Saquon Barkley. And there was Nick Mullins. Now, be honest. You're not sure if his name is Nick Mullins or Nate Mullins. But you can be sure of this. Kyle Shanahan is a pretty damn good coach. Shanahan can coach. Oh, and the fact that Mullins played at Brett Favre's high school, old school, I should say, that's quickly becoming the new Jerome Bettis is from Detroit. But again, that's not really the point. The point is Shanahan ripped Nick or Nate from the practice squad and helped turn him into a viable NFL quarterback. The name Nick Mullins was being mentioned in the same breath as Jim Kelly and Fran Tarkenton after his first start. And while he wasn't exactly James or Francis last night, he did come this close to executing a game-winning drive with less than a minute on the clock. So, 2 games into the Nick Mullins experience, the Niners know they've got a legitimate backup to Jimmy G, or they've got a valuable trade chip if they want to move Mullins. which is why every team that's looking for a head coach is looking for the next Kyle Shanahan or the next Sean McVay. And to all those teams, I say, good luck with that, because there aren't a lot of those guys around. There aren't a lot of Shanahans or McVays working as assistant coaches right now. And while it's easy to focus entirely on Shanahan, let's not forget about the Giants. They do deserve some credit. I mean, for the entire season, I've done everything I could to forget about the Giants, but they did show up last night. I've got to tip my hat. They flew across the country. They played in some rough conditions because of the wildfires. They could have easily laid down for that game. In fact, it would have been better if they did lay down for that game, because getting that win gives the Raiders the edge in the battle for the first pick, a pick that they need way worse than they needed that win last night. I mean, that was a nice, cute little win, but they needed the pick. Except they didn't roll over. Eli Manning even put together a game-winning drive in the fourth quarter that actually reminded you of the old Eli Manning instead of how old Eli Manning is. And then he capped it off with this dime to Sterling Shepard for the lead.
Second down and one of the three of San Francisco. He gets the shotgun snap. He looks left. He throws a line drive pass. A leaping two-handed falling down. Catch at the goal line pylon. Touchdown! Touchdown to Shepard! What a catch and what a throw! And the Giants have taken a lead with 53 seconds to go.
That, of course, was Westwood One. As for Shepard, he was asked afterwards what he saw on that play.
Just saw man-to-man coverage, and that's something that we've been practicing for a little while. And I was able to capture the outside edge, and Eli put the ball in the perfect place.
Eli put the ball in the perfect place. When was the last time anybody said that about Eli? When was the last time the Giants' offense actually worked and that everybody seemed to be on the same page? When was the last time anybody in Giants gear seemed happy about anything at all? Now, let's not get crazy with it. I'm not saying they turned this thing around, because they haven't. Nor does that mean that everybody who had been killing Eli Manning for the past year or two was wrong and he shut every last one of them up. They weren't, and he didn't. I mean, pretty much anything negative that's been said about Eli in the past year or two has been true. I mean, the guy really has nothing left. He didn't just win his third Super Bowl. He beat a busted-up, two-win Niners team. And now the Giants are a busted-up, two-win football team themselves. So he's not back. They're not back. But they do have to feel a lot better about themselves going into a bye with a win. And I'll admit it. I will admit this. That game was better than I expected, because what I expected was possibly the worst game of the year and the biggest waste of my time ever. And honestly, it was neither of those things. That was a pretty good game. That was a pretty nice surprise. Not bad at all. 1-800-636-8686. It is toll free. What do you want to talk about? Pick up the phone. Hit us up right now. In addition to the Monday night game, other topics. Another terrible injury in the NBA. Let me just say this about this, and I need some time to set this up. This job that I do is amazing. I mean, they pay me to talk sports. They pay me to watch sports. They pay me to interview athletes. It's the best job ever. It really is. But like any other job, even the best jobs, there are parts of my job that I really don't like. That would be part of that. Talking about just grotesque injuries. That was a terrible injury, which I will get to a little bit later on. Also in the NBA, let's play a little game of Remember When. And this game of Remember When is going to involve Melo. Is Melo done in Houston? He might be, after only 10 games. And I think the only people who didn't see that coming were Melo and the Rockets. Back to the NFL. Some news out of Buffalo that unfortunately needs to be reported. And again, another part of my job that I do not like. Nate Pete, finished. Nathan Peterman, you are not the quarterback. That story's coming up. He's Batman. Email number one reads like this. Mr. Rome, refresh my memory. Yesterday, did you say that Alvin is in Italy with his wife for their anniversary? No! Regards, Lil Alvy's medical insurance provider. Signed, Geoff and Lincoln. War Alvy rolling up on the pharmacy cashier, slamming the pregnancy test on the counter and screaming, "You like that? You like that? Man, I hope that's not the way that's going. My biggest fear about Alvin, and I did mention it yesterday, Alvin is off this week. The flight deck, James Kelly, is sitting in his chair. It's an impossible act to follow. The reason he's off, he's celebrating his 10th anniversary with Mill, and they're in Italy. Alvy was going to start the week in Rome, end up in Venice, and he's celebrating his 10th anniversary. Of course, my biggest fear, right, is that. My biggest fear is that. I have two kids. It's perfect. Janet would have kept going. She would have gone for a third or fourth or whatever, and I'm like, nah, we're good. Believe me, we're good. Two's perfect. Alvy's got like 12, I think. I lost track. My concern is he's in Italy with Mill on his 10th wedding anniversary, sans kids. Because you're not going to bring 10 or 12 or whatever the number is to Italy. You can't tell me he's not planting that seed again. You can't tell me she's not coming back, not pregnant. And that's great. That's great. Except that a one-week vacation turns into 9 weeks of paternity leave. And my man takes every last one of those days. My man knows the letter of the law and will take every last hour. So that's my concern. I mean, Mill's probably like, I don't know, Alvin. I don't really want to go again. Mill, listen, if we just do this, I mean, sure, we got to raise that kid up for 18 years, but I do get 9 weeks off. Measure one against the other. We got to raise that kid up for 18 years, maybe 21. But no matter what, I get 9 weeks off. What do you think about that? Okay, let's do this. So I don't know what's going on. I've not heard from him. I've not seen anything on social. Hey, Adam, has he done anything on social? Is he posting right now? Radio silence. Hashtag radio silence from Alvy in Italy. Clones, hit him up. Hit him up. Ask him what's going on. Ask him if he's planting his seed at Alvin DeLauro. Ask him if and when he's coming back. All right, so that's Geoff and Lincoln. That's where that's coming from. Eddie in Santa Paula tweets, there was an NFL game last night. Again, it was not a bad game. I would have missed that game. There's no way that I would have watched that game if they didn't pay me to watch that game. There's so many things I would have rather have done when I looked at that game on paper. Three combined wins, zero combined hope. I would not have watched it. But I have to admit, it was better than I thought. At Liz in Falls City, you mean what I watched last night wasn't Dancing with the Losers? Pretty good game. Pretty competitive game. Rome, Eli looked great last night. I think he's got a lot left in the tank. Yours, Kobe dropping 60 on 57 shots in his last game. Aaron in Omaha wore Adrian Martinez for freaking Heisman in 2019. Dude, you honk for that team like nobody honks for any team. I mean, I kind of respect it. Not that part about Kobe. I mean, 60 is 60. I don't care if it took him 90 shots to get it. 60 in an NBA game and walking off on that is something. All right, so we're open right now. Mike Holmgren. I've not spoken to him in a minute or four. That's coming up in hour number two. Phone lines are open. Take advantage of it. I'm not going to take calls just to take calls, but I'll take the right calls. 1-800-636-8686. There is something to be said for being the best. You know, when you've outrun, outpaced, outsmarted the competition. Elite athletes know you cannot be the best until you have beaten the best. If you want to compete at the highest level, you've got to be strong. You have to stay strong. Just like Castrol Edge, the strongest full synthetic motor oil engineered with fluid titanium technology to reduce power robbing friction and then to maximize engine performance. As an example, did you know that friction can rip 10% of performance from your engine? As an analogy, imagine you line up against somebody else. That person's at 100%, you're at 90, you're going to get smashed every single time. Castrol Edge knows this. It is strong under pressure. It reduces friction so your engine can perform at its highest level. Not only strong, but 3 times stronger than the leading full synthetic against viscosity breakdown. And by now you know it was proven in the Kurt Orban test. Kurt Orban, strength your engine needs to perform at its highest level and to keep you living on that edge. Castrol Edge, stronger under pressure.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
again. Is Carmelo Anthony done in Houston? And if so, where is he going to end up next? Or does he end up anywhere at all? Dear Rome, did you see that game last night? Holy crap. That was awesome. Regards, paint drying, the Oakland Raiders, and living in Canada. John in Wisconsin, we're asking Mike Holmgren to come back to Green Bay. Again, that's what I thought my reaction would be. I was not looking forward to that game. I mean, how hard can it be to watch a football game, especially when you're paid to watch a football game? All you have to do is sit down and watch it. But despite that fact, looking at that game on paper, I wanted nothing to do with that. I would not have watched that game if they didn't pay me to, but I did. And again, I don't hate myself. I don't hate the world. It's fine. It was pretty good. Better than I thought. More competitive than I thought. I thought it was going to be the worst game of the year and the biggest waste of time ever. It was neither of those things. So why are you still complaining? Believe me, we got over. It could have been much worse. It can always be worse. Speaking of which, there's some bad news coming out of Buffalo. Bad news that unfortunately does need to be reported. Nathan Peterman, you are not the quarterback.
Andrew, you are not the quarterback.
Look, we knew this was coming. Not just because Matt Barkley put on a show last weekend. Not just because Josh Allen is reportedly set to come back after the Bills' bye week. But because Sean McDermott didn't have any other choice. You see, when you love something, you have to set it free. And when you love something the way Sean McD loves Nathan P, then giving this dude his unconditional release is the only choice left. Now, I know many of you, most of you, pretty much all of you have had your fun with this dude, had your fun at this guy's expense. The crushing Nate Peterman became some sort of sick, twisted sport. Like, picking on the easiest mark in the history of marks is fun for some of you. Why? I have no idea. It says a hell of a lot more about you than it does him. But let me ask you this. In the history of the NFL, has there ever been a quarterback to do it bigger than Nathan Michael Peterman? When you look back on 2017 and 2018, you may not even remember who won or who lost the Super Bowl, but you damn well know Nate Pete. You know you're going to remember Nate Pete. My man was a supernova because nobody did it like Nate Pete. This is the guy that the Bills ran Tyrod Taylor out of town for. This is the dude who almost single-handedly created all that drama heading into Week 17 last year when the Mafia needed Andy Dalton to throw Buffalo into the postseason. This is a man who has moved the needle unlike any other quarterback ever. Hell, he didn't move the needle. He was the needle. You want to talk about a debut? Try five picks in his debut. Five picks before halftime.
Peterman rolling and throwing off the hands of DeMarco and intercepted. Patrick DeMarco couldn't hold it. Corey Toomer has it. And down the sideline, he tightropes. Corey Toomer is in for a Charger touchdown. Pass rushers that will come after the rookie, and they do. He floats one, and that's intercepted across the 25-yard line. Pressure coming. Peterman hit, and that is his third interception of the day. Trey Boston has it for a Charger takeaway. Pass is that almost? Did he pick that off? Casey Hayward may have another interception. And that's the fifth interception today thrown by Peterman. Trevor Williams with his first of this game.
Chris Myers, if you need him, Fox Sports. You want a debut? Five picks. Five picks before halftime. You want a debut? There's your debut. You want late game heroics? Try telling your coaches, quote, I got this. And then throwing a game-winning touchdown pass for the Texans.
Second and 10 Bills from their 25. One back, McCoy. Peterman in the gun. Two receivers left, one to the right side. Peterman takes the snap. He's looking left. He throws that way. It's picked off by Jonathan Joseph across the 15, 10, 5. Rock and roll. The Texans go in front on the pick six.
Texans radio, rock and roll. You want an ultimate teammate. when Josh Allen's elbow was jacked up and Derek Anderson's coconut got cracked open? Who manned the hell up? Who took the rock? Who balled out to the tune of 188 yards, no touchdowns, and three INTs in a 41-9 beatdown? That's freaking right, the Big NP. So you go ahead. You go ahead and crack on this dude all you want. I'm not going to, because nobody's done that position. Nobody has done the position of quarterback a bigger solid than Nate Pete. You want to see how hard that gig is? Just throw this dude's name into YouTube. 12 interceptions in 130 career attempts. You're going to feel a hell of a lot better, whoever your team is trotting out there, after like 60 seconds of Peterman. So, don't cry because it's over. Smile because it happened. Then, bust out a glow stick and pour one out while the world's greatest royalty-free techno mix bumps one last time. Pour one out for Nathan P. Be happy you had it. And may your next career go better than your last. It pretty much can't go any worse. It's not his fault. He did what was asked of him. And no, they did not ask him to throw the ball repeatedly to the other team. It's not his fault. They kept running him out there. What was he supposed to do? My man, I got you. Pour one out for Nathan P. 1-800-636-8686. I wish I met him. I wish we had him on. Maybe it's not too late. Nate Pete, supernova. Got a lot of NBA notes, actually. Another really interesting story. Life comes at you so fast, so fast. Just ask my man, DeMar DeRozan. Now the news breaks as to where he was when he found out he was dealt to San Antonio. And so far, it's worked out well for him. He's also playing great. Except he was on record as saying he wanted to be in Toronto. He wanted to spend his entire career in Toronto. Now we know where he was when he found out about that trade. In the parking lot of Jack in the Box. J-Bo. That story is coming up later on. Right when you think the Raiders can't drop any lower, they do. They do. I've got that to get to. And today is the deadline for Le'Veon Bell. Notice I did not mention that at the very top. Apparently Mike Tomlin still has not heard from him. So if Tomlin has not heard from him, then he's not going to make it in before the deadline. If he doesn't make it in before the deadline, he's Batman. If you're watching on CBS Sports Network, you can see Keith Arnold walking that in. If you're listening, you know he's in studio because you heard the Batman drop. If Le'Veon does not beat the deadline, then he's done for the year. And if he's done for the year, he's probably done in Pittsburgh. And it seems to me there are three things at work here. Number one, he forgot who signed his checks. He forgot that it's the Pittsburgh Steelers. They were not going to blink. Number two, he overplayed his hand. Number three, there's still a Super Bowl contender even without him. Mike D for three tweets. Jim, I was the needle too. Signed Todd Marinovich. I'm not talking about that needle. I'm not talking about the spike. I'm talking about the metaphorical needle. You know, this guy moves the needle. You always hear that. He moves the needle. I'm saying Nate Pete was the needle. Toddy M's got nothing to do with this. Look who's here. Rick in Buffalo. He emailed. He didn't call. Dear Jim, no credit to Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott for cutting Peterman loose. It's about friggin' time. It should have been done after week one. Nathan was a great community guy, a man of faith, but even God knew he sucked as a quarterback. Now get Allen back in there so we can see what the kid's got. Rick in Buffalo. P.S., you're a scumbag. Do it before I kick your ass. War the Goo Goo Dolls. War me, because I'm awesome. All right, so I added the P.S.s and the wars myself. That email ended with Rick in Buffalo, but he really said that. Damn, I used to say doing the butter knife took a year off my life. Doing Rick in Buffalo takes 5 years off my life. Rick, if you can get free from that job that you do, call the program. Yell at somebody. Threaten somebody. Hype the Goo Goo Dolls. Call somebody an a-hole. In other words, be you, Rick. Just be you. That can't be good for my voice. That just cannot be good for my voice. Especially with another run to New York. I'll show up for the NFL on CBS and Drew Kalisky will be like, Jim, you all right? You feel all right? You don't sound so good. I'm fine, Drew. I got stuck. You know, if you make a face, your parents always say, you're going to get stuck. Don't do it. I did my Rick in Buffalo thing, and now I'm stuck. Stop looking at me. Next hour, Mike Holmgren. He's not a scumbag, but there are lots of other scumbags. Seriously, I hope I don't get stuck doing that. Mike Holmgren, next hour. Quadri Olsson next hour. Right now, it's time for a bottom-of-the-hour sports update. If you're waiting on that, here you go.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
CBS's Super Bowl season continues Sunday with some really good regional action. Pittsburgh taking on Jacksonville. The LA Chargers host the Broncos. You want to make sure you check your local listings for the game in your area and kick the day off with the NFL Today presented by Jeep. At 12 Eastern, 9 Pacific on CBS. And I will be back in New York back-to-back. Was there last weekend, going back this weekend. And as always, fired up. Check that out. Show gets underway at 12 noon Eastern, 9 Pacific. This tweet is from SA Sports Honk. Rome, I was in the parking lot of Jack in the Box when I heard that I had been traded too. My wife traded me and sent me off with a burger. Sincerely, Affleck. Don't hurt yourself, Ken. That must have been pretty hard to do. That story's coming up later on. DeMar DeRozan. And it's not a way in to talk about Affleck again hitting up J-Bo on his way to rehab. It's not why I'm doing that. It's an NBA take, not an Affleck take. Speaking of takes, as I mentioned, what I'm about to get into right now, and this actually ends better than I thought, but what I'm about to get into right now is one of the worst parts of this gig. And again, don't get me wrong. I'm not complaining. I've got a dream job. I've got the best job. I work hard at it, but it's the best job. But there are times when the job's not fun. There are days when the job's not fun. And at least moments where it's not fun. And this is one of those moments. Because I've got to talk about a gruesome injury. I've done this before. I've done it with guys like Kevin Ware, Paul George, Gordon Hayward, Sean Livingston. And now we've got Brooklyn Nets guard and a star in the making, Caris LeVert, to add to that list. Now, before I get into the injury that happened last night, which is nasty no matter who it happens to, it's important to note that LeVert had taken his game to a whole new level this year. He went from averaging 8 a game as a rookie to 12 points last year to more than 18 per game this year. He was breaking out, and folks all around the league were taking note. And the guy worked really, really hard to get to the point where he is right now. So I want to acknowledge that. And then on top of it, as for the injury itself, if you have not seen this injury, you might want to keep it that way. If I didn't have to see it for work, again, I would have avoided this at all costs. This is not something I go looking for. So I'm going to let the crew in New York decide whether or not they want to show it and to what extent on CBS Sports Network. That's their call. If they do show it and you're watching right now, you can decide whether you want to see it or if you want to look away for a few seconds. The injury itself took place late in the first half against Minnesota. T-Wolves guard Jeff Teague was on a fast break. LeVert went to block his shot. He landed awkwardly. And that's about as much as I want to describe about that injury because LeVert's reaction said it all. It told the entire story. He starts to sit up. He sees his leg. He lays right back down. And when he was stretched off the court, His leg was covered. His head was partially covered, but the entire thing was fully terrible. You don't need to see the injury to even know how bad it was. You only need to see the faces of his teammates, the faces of the T-Wolves, or listen to the reactions after the game. LeVert's teammates were in shock. Some were in tears. The T-Wolves huddled in prayer. Nets guard Joe Harris said, quote, "There was really just no words. We didn't even talk when we came in at halftime. There was nothing to be said. Guys were crying. It was really that horrific just to see." He went on, quote, "He has done everything he possibly could to put himself in a position to succeed, to do well, and to be healthy, and then you have a freak accident. That's what makes it even tougher for all of us," end quote. And it wasn't just the guys who were there. Derrick Rose, who was a firsthand witness to the injuries to Paul George, Gordon Hayward, and LeVert, said that seeing those, quote, "kind of messes you up in a way," end quote. Yeah, pretty much. It certainly does. I mean, it was awful. It was truly, truly terrible. And the response from around the league showed that much. Here are a few tweets from fellow NBA players. Dwayne Wade, quote, "I hate injuries. Prayers up for Caris LeVert." Kevin Love, quote, "Prayers for Caris LeVert. Hate to see this. Having a hell of a season. Keep strong." LeBron, quote, "Young fella, prayers to you. Speedy recovery and even stronger impact coming soon for sure," end quote. So as always, when there's an injury like that, I don't know how anybody focuses on the game for the rest of the night. I don't really know who won last night. I really don't even care because the injury was that bad. And there's no way I'm going to break out a list of the worst sports injuries. Just know this, LeVert's was as bad as there's ever been. You know, and I was going to say, there really is no silver lining at all. It's awful. It's terrible. It sucks. He was just coming into his own. He was turning the Nets into must-see TV. That's how good he was. And now he's facing an enormous comeback. But then, just moments ago, the story breaks that he suffered a dislocated foot, and he may, in fact, make it back this season. If that's possible. I mean, a dislocated foot sounds terrible. Watching that, it looked much worse than that. I mean, if that's true, to me, that's a miracle. I'm no medical expert, but that's incredible news. If that's what he's dealing with, a dislocated foot, and he can make it back this season, that is incredible news. That's tremendous. The visual, however, is still grotesque. I mean, it's revolting, but that is really good news because that looked so much worse. I mean, I'm shocked to even hear that. I fear the worst. Like, I don't even want to tell you what's going through my mind as I watch that. The Brooklyn Nets tweet, "Caris LeVert was diagnosed with a dislocation of his right foot. Surgery will not be required, and he will begin rehabilitation with the Nets performance staff." Surgery not required. Let me tell you something. I saw that and I thought amputation was going to be required. I mean, I'm not making light at all. That was a terrifying thing to see. Like, the second I saw that, I immediately was trying to figure out how I could unsee that. And this guy's worked so hard and improved so much. That is amazing news. No surgery, rehab begins immediately. From the team orthopedist, Dr. Martin O'Malley, quote, "Fortunately, tests performed this morning revealed that there are no fractures and only moderate ligament damage. While the optics of the injury may have appeared to be more severe, surgery will not be required." That's exactly what it is. The optics made it seem much worse. So, no fractures, moderate ligament damage, no surgery, rehab gets underway right away. That is amazing news. And Woj tweets, "With only a dislocated right foot, Brooklyn's Caris LeVert expected to return this season." I would have never thought that. And literally, I was going to talk about that, and then that news broke. So that's very, very good news. 1-800-636-8600. 8-6, your thoughts on that? What did you think when you saw that? I fear the worst, because that's the worst part of the job. Mike Holmgren coming up next hour. Hey, Rome. I think I can live without Nate Pete, but don't you dare make me live day to day without that beautiful royalty-free techno. Maybe consider bumping it every time you go to some terrible scrub caller like Matt in L.A. Thanks, Matt in Vancouver. War Eli getting over on a third stringer for his last career win. All right, Matt. You know me. I've got an open mind. I'm open to anything that makes the show better. You've made the show better, and you just kind of floated an idea out there. He doesn't want to live without that beautiful royalty-free techno. Maybe we, quote, consider bumping it every time we go to some terrible scrub caller like Matt in L.A. I don't know. James Kelly, do you have that beautiful royalty-free techno? Bump it. You've got your phone number. You know it's toll-free. Let's go to the phones. We go to Matt in L.A. Hey, Matt, what's going on?
Giving dreams to the Vancouver Vixen as usual. You know what I mean? Nestled up right there. Anyway, Romy, thanks for the vine, man. Hey, I'm hyped up, man. With Tyson Chandler coming into town, getting the defense for the Lakers shored up. Finally, I'm on board with the chunk and the systematic tank job that the Raiders are underway, that the Department of Defense is even looking in awe of. But, hey, man, you brought something up that was great. I didn't even know Chris the Chin Myers was still in the game, man. I mean, did you hear the way he was beautifully, commentating on Nate Pete and those 8 combined touchdowns, man? Hey, that was
all right, Matt, thanks. Let me jump in for a minute. My man, if I didn't know any better, I would suggest that you just got played off by beautiful royalty-free techno. Yeah, I mentioned Chris Myers, friend of the program. He was doing the play-by-play for that montage of Nate Pete. Come on, man. Where is that? Bring that back up. 818 for life. Really challenging times in the 818 right now, too. All right, so that was Matt in Vancouver. Matt said, Rome, I think that I can live without Nate Pete, but don't you dare make me live day-to-day without that beautiful, royalty-free techno. Maybe consider bumping it every time you go to some terrible scrub caller like Matt in L.A. Thanks, Matt in Vancouver. And just as I read that email, Matt in L.A. was already on hold, because of course he was. And then Matt went with some nonsense about that Vixen in Vancouver. War Eli getting over on a third stringer for his last career win. Yeah, like I said, that was nice. It was nice. It was kind of cute. Eli sacking up, going down the field, getting it done again, maybe buying himself another week. James Kelly, just leave that up there. It's free. It's free. It's royalty free. Now, you know what? Take that down. I don't want somebody else asking me, is anything wrong with Rome? What's wrong with Rome? Nothing is wrong with Rome. He's funny and he's smart. And he's got it. Look, Eli, that was a nice moment, except it may cost them the number one pick overall, and then it won't feel so nice. They need the pick worse than they need the win, but that's not what's on Eli's mind. Eli's proud. Eli's got a couple of rings. Eli was in the moment. Eli did what he was supposed to do. Eli did what he's trained to do. Eli did what he prepared to do, find a way to win a game, something he hasn't been doing very much of the last couple of years. So that was nice, but let's just not act like everybody owes him an apology, because we don't. Much of what had been said about him in recent years was accurate. But he kept grinding. He kept battling. So did the Niners. They put on a much better show than I expected. I'll give them that. At belligerent Nuck tweets, pick six by Matt in L.A. And belligerent Nuck, of course, is Matt in Vancouver. He just worked Matt in L.A. badly that segment. Crushed him with an email and then piled on with a tweet to chase it. Pick six by Matt in L.A. House call. Hey, Matt in Vancouver, do you want to call and go for the trifecta? Second hour is coming up next. If you're going to, do it right now. See you there.